You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Oh, he's going to explode.
It's quite the breath.
He's going to annoy everyone today. No. He's going to run everyone ragged today. I'm troubled.
Who, Chris?
Baby? He came in here. Stugatz just said you haven't hugged him like that in 10 years since a LeBron James victory of some sort. I'm guessing it's game six in Boston.
It was, and I believe it was in the parking lot of the Waxy Studios the last time Mike hugged me. But this morning, I got one.
Wasn't that hug? That's, I remember that video of you guys running and hugging. Wasn't that when you landed LeBron? That hug?
Yeah, I think so. But no one's here to listen to us.
I got a hug a day for every single day that LeBron was here. Yes.
That was a Vine, I believe.
It was a Vine.
I think it was like the Vine. Most viewed Vine that the show put out.
Look at that. Remember Vine?
Oh, what a time.
No.
Yeah. Does Stugatz sound as rough to you guys as he sounds to me? He's toughing it out today. He's sick. He came in from Chicago. He's hurting. Mike Ryan's not even supposed to be here. He's supposed to be in Los Angeles, but you know why he came in. We are a game. I'm going to say something that is really shocking. We are a game in each bracket for the national championship in college football and college basketball to be played between FAU and Miami. You've got to be shitting me. That game, if it was played at any point in the last 20 seasons at FAU's gym, would have 2,000 people at it.
That many?
We did the show last week with the possibility of this happening, and no one even talked about it. Because we were like, there's no way they're both going to go 2-0 and get to the Final Four. Like, it's just, what is happening?
This is what's happening, and this is what you should be excited about if you're a Miami fan. I would say it's already a success, and everything here is gravy after this, but we will see.
Bold claim.
Not for FAU.
I'm guessing, though, that Mike Ryan isn't satisfied with this. If they lose the next game by 30 points,
please
it'd be
fine. Please stop calling me Mike Ryan. National semifinalist, please.
Sorry. You can't be satisfied, Dan, because the field is so wide open that FAU and Miami are in the Final Four, and so there aren't great teams. There's not a number one seed, and the UM fan should feel like, no, this is my time to win a national championship in college basketball. This is our time.
I would be thrilled if they simply won the next game and then lost in the finals. I'm satisfied with what they've already done. It's a huge monster success, and this is it's unlike, I would say, Stugatz. My feeling on this is unlike anything else, anywhere else in sports, where nowhere else, if you get to the Final Four, am I satisfied with that. But here, you get this week of celebration, and you also get the excitement. This is the part, to me, that is most exciting about the way that they've done it. Each game, they've won in a different way. They beat Drake with full court pressure at the end. They beat Indiana. They didn't go inside to beat Indiana. They couldn't go inside to beat Indiana. Yesterday, they made two threes. Texas made 10. They made two threes and then come back in the game. They've won every single different way. And I've got a stat here from OptiStat, Stugatz. Mike Schur is not going to be with us today. He says he's mulling retirement because Metalark has hired David Sampson. And he's protesting today. But this is from OptiStat. And this is the unique
That's
way.
That's gone over well.
This is the unique way that OptiStat says Miami won the last game. Listen to this stat because it's a stunner, Stugatz. Over the last 25 seasons, there have been 134,377 instances of a Division I player taking at least 20 total shots, field goals, and free throws in a game, NCAA tournament, or otherwise. 25 seasons. Jordan Miller,
Mr. Perfect,
is the only one of those to make every single shot he took.
Yeah, don't ever call him Jordan Miller again. It's Mr. Perfect. Yeah. It's Mr. Perfect. Forever and always.
Maybe UM's just happy to be here. It's championship or bust for FAU.
Disappointing season otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, this is the job's not done yet. I know UM might just be happy to be here, but we knew we'd be here. We'll talk to Dusty later on. We'll talk to him. Dusty May, the coach. Most people don't know who he is.
In Chris's defense, like, this is probably their best shot at winning a national championship, right?
I mean,
they're in the final four.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And the team, games away.
The team that they're going to play next is going to be easier than the teams that they've beat so far.
UConn's the best team of it, like, left. So yeah, it works out perfectly for FAU.
UConn's a big favorite. And the most impressive.
Yeah, 5.5 points, according to our friends over at DraftKings.
The most impressive victory they have is the one over Houston. They dragged a one seed, because Houston decided that was the day that they weren't going to shoot well, but it's not.
Dude, they shot lights out in that first half.
Yes. They didn't shoot well in the second half. But here's the thing about what was impressive about yesterday, the comeback, obviously. But also, Texas in its home state, one of the few teams in that tournament that can shoot. Like, they beat a team shooting well.
They shot the shit out of that ball.
Texas was shooting well, and they beat them anyway.
Yeah, and not much from Norchad Omier, who was in foul trouble early on. It was like a weird foul trouble because he had one foul and he was trying like hell to stay away from that second foul. Still ended up being in foul trouble. Thank God they corrected that over back. That was bullshit.
I thought the game was over right there. I thought he'd fouled out and they were going to lose after that. And then they changed the call. And I've got to, Mike, I think your homerism is showing here because I don't know how Cunningham.
What about me screams homerism right now? What? Yeah.
Why'd you take your shirt off?
It was hot. Coke sweats, Dan.
Kind of warm.
We're in the final four. I've let you talk. That was F word, Mark.
Yeah.
I've let you talk long enough.
Mark, please.
We're in the final four. National semifinalist, Midwest regional winner.
Do I have to see your chest, though? I mean,
you're lucky that's all. You're lucky. You're lucky that's all you're going to see. Play your cards right, champ.
Sitting next to him over there.
He's very happy. He's very
affectionate. Yes, Roy.
I deserve that.
You deserve that?
I love it.
National semifinals.
Yeah. You've got a kiss on the temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems
he's
like a human resources
He's
violation.
A Cane.
Cane,
you're mad chill for making the Final Four. Can you believe this? Our basketball program?
Well, Dan
final
tried
four?
To kill that.
How's Dan going
to
poop on FAU on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to ruin this experience. I'm not. I'm already envisioning you ruining this experience.
I'm out for the rest of the week.
Who do you think reported the Cavender twins?
Oh. I'm out for the rest of the week. Oh. But if Billy Corbin has the gall, the temerity to show his face in here, I want Tony to kick his ass out. Pick him up like a cartoon, like Fred Flintstone picked up that dinosaur and just toss him out. Yeah. Like Dino.
Like the belt buckle in the back? From the back of the belt.
Like this. Like a, and make a big like noise and rally the troops.
Yeah. Whoa!
Like Uncle Phil throwing jazz out of the mansion.
Right. Yeah, he can't enjoy this. Oh, thank God bless John Ruiz.
Yeah, can we just take a moment? Credit where credit is due. Like, he turned around the athletic department.
He really did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Well,
he
the basketball
to be the man.
Team.
He wanted to be the man. We got
both
Nigel Pack.
Basketball teams.
Yeah, both. Yep. Both. Yeah,
and football, maybe.
It's a pretty funny juxtaposition, these final fours, because you have Miami, who's spent money to get here, And then you have FAU, who we know isn't paying anyone on their team. So it's just like, because I saw Charles Barkley.
How do you know that?
It's college basketball. They're all getting money.
Charles Barkley's on 60 Minutes after with an interview clearly taped before this tournament where he's just like, college basketball's ruined. Yes. All the teams that pay, like, nobody has a chance anymore when FAU's in the final. They should have cut that interview because, all right, we're going to air this next year, Chuck, because FAU's in the Final Four. And your argument doesn't really hold any weight
also,
right now.
Also, Chuck, you're playing both shots.
Stugatz, did you see, and you're right about John Ruiz, because Nigel Pack, are you seeing what he is making for a couple of years here, Stugatz? You want to take a guess?
Nigel Pack, what he's making?
Yes.
I know he hit the biggest shot, Sweet 16, when Houston cut it to two. He hit a three. The Canes, you know, went on like 8-0 run, and that effectively ended the game. I'm guessing he's making, over the next 2 years, $20 million? How much?
Not enough.
Is it not $20 million?
Is it?
It honestly took a perfect game from him the game before. Like, the UM wouldn't be here if it weren't for two perfect games
from guys. More guards than Shawshank.
Yep. Yeah.
More guards than Shawshank.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You.
When did Roy become a U guy?
I've been a U fan all my life. What are you talking about?
Who would become an owl?
Yeah, I'm openly admitting I'm faking everything with FAU.
I had no idea you went until this week.
I am going to get FAU gear today because I'm going to be in. I am.
No, you're not.
I'm going to Houston. I have to have FAU gear.
Wait, Chris, you and I are going up to FAU for a day. Are we not? Yes.
That's also weird. We're doing content this week. We're doing some tent.
Why do I look like Linda Hamilton from Terminator 2?
You're terminated.
When are you doing that, Stugatz?
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh, please.
Or.
I don't believe.
Before they go to Houston, H-Town.
Nigel Pack for 2 years is getting $800,000.
What?
Not 20 million, huh? Okay.
Underpaid. Clear the lane. I got something for Jeff Bulls. Do you know who Jeff Bulls is? Do any of you know who Jeff Bulls is?
No.
Heard you talking about him earlier.
Do you know who Jeff Bulls is?
He's the Marlins manager with the big eyes.
No.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It's John Bulls.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bullsy.
Yeah. Jeff Bulls, no one knows him with good reason. He's a nobody. He's a nobody. He's a head coach at Ohio, the Bobcats. Wow. Yeah. After.
Bigger program than FAU.
Yeah. After Miami just wheezed to a victory over Drake. He screen-capped Zay Wong's box score, and he said, for $800,000, you can get this performance from the field and a spot in the second round. That loser, that fool, got into the schnapps and thought that was a good thing to tweet. A head coach. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know what the end game is for you, Jeff Bulls. Maybe you want to ride it out at Ohio, but if you want to get to a big program, you're going to like NIL, I think. Are you?
I don't think you should accuse him of schnapps.
No, he was
drinking.
In the schnapps. He was in the schnapps because it was a batshit crazy thing to tweet. How dare you? Where's my apology? You deleted the tweet? Kiss my ass.
Oh, dear
Kiss
God.
My ass, Jeff
he
Bulls.
He deleted the tweet?
I know you're shadow blocking me. Kiss my ass, Jeff Bulls. I'm in the final four. Kiss my ass.
Wong has had a couple of 20-plus point games, Stugatz. He was bad in that one.
Should the coaches leave now before they even play another game?
I want to toss Jeff Bulls out like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
Another person.
Yeah.
Oh, I like Jazz.
You're next. You're next. I want an apology. Hop in the DMs and say I'm sorry, Jeff Bulls.
Hop in the DMs with
private
your
private
apology. Oh, wow.
I want a direct apology. You deleted that tweet. I saw you. Everyone did. And you're out here not acknowledging it publicly.
Put it on the poll, please.
Who drinks schnapps anyways?
At Levitard Show. Is it the worst insult to accuse someone of drinking schnapps? Stugatz, of the 20 million brackets, according to ESPN, 37 of them have the correct Final Four. That's
How?
Okay, you guys say how, but the chances are less than 2 in a million, even this way. 37. I also had the same reaction. How do you get 37 of these when nobody higher than 4 is still in the tournament, but the odds are 0.00185. That's what the percentage is of people who have the correct Final Four.
It's the old wacky bracket. You fill out a main bracket, you fill out a bunch of wacky brackets, and one of them sticks. I mean...
Mike Ryan is whacking it.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
So, like, there was a time that, and I'll tell you who this person is that I admired, and I said, that'd be a great career for me. Ryan Seacrest.
Stugatz.
And then to take it a step further, you know, just a couple weeks ago, James Corden was stepping down, and I said, you know who'd be a great replacement for him? Me. I could do that. I could replace James Corden,
right? I actually agree with you on that.
If I don't have to move to L.A. and I could just do this somewhere near in the Tamiami area, like they have an old, you know, theater that's kind of abandoned right now. Maybe we do something there. I mean, people like to come
to
Miami, right?
Turn the abandoned Kmart into your Late Late Show studio.
Yes, I didn't even think about that. Wow, that's a theater right there.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings app and use code DAN to get in on the action.
Don't forget, check on your second chance bracket presented by State Farm.
We're in the Final Four.
Amazing. National semifinals.
Yeah. Roy, I love you. We've been through so much.
Yes.
We've been through so much.
Yes, long
did
time.
Did Brooks Koepka bring a traffic cone to the Panthers?
I was just going
to
say, I was like, I hope we can get to this story.
Yeah. How did that happen?
I love this story.
Problem. What happened?
Brooks Koepka, if you look at a video of Brooks Koepka on the internet, you might just think he's a wacko, but he's a damn smart Panther fan. Because he hates Aaron Ekblad. We have sound of this, Mike. You should pull it up.
He went after him. I don't know how he got this into the skybox. It had to be because he's Koepka, right? That he was allowed to bring a traffic cone into the arena.
There's a lot going on with this game. It was Italian-themed night, but only for the Koepka group. Like, it wasn't like an arena-wide theme night. It was. I saw an Instagram picture with a Koepka and the three bros he was with, all dressed in jumpsuits, holding up like the Italian sign. So it was apparently their own little themed Italian night. But that's fourth on the most interesting thing about this. So he has a cone inexplicably, and he's heckling Aaron Ekblad.
Not inexplicably, because there's an explanation.
Explicably.
It is explicable.
Explicably, Aaron Ekblad is a traffic cone.
So what you don't...
Ekblad, you suck!
Apparently, was there a goal right now?
They came back on the ice.
Now, what you don't see, what you don't hear in that sound is him mouthing the words, "You're a bleeping traffic cone."
Ekblad, you suck!
While waving a traffic cone,
holding it up,
and it's not a small one.
Just like literally,
it's
like
a huge one.
It's not one of the small ones.
It was just kind of like him holding it up, like this is you. Like it was like him trying to show him who he was.
I have a genuine question for all of you. That's the largest of the traffic cones, right?
It's the biggest goddamn thing I've ever seen.
Of course, Brooks couldn't resist the urge to turn it into his penis at 1 second briefly. Because, you know, when you have
that's
a traffic
what
cone,
do.
What are you going to...
Bless you, Brooks. I mean...
I love that someone loves the Panthers this much.
It is such... A random hockey fan would be like, wow, Aaron Ekblad, that's one of their alternate captain. But Panther fans this year hate Aaron Ekblad. It is such a studious fan that is criticized. Like I appreciate, like, this is not just him drunk at a game. This is a guy that must like the Panthers, and he's just, like me, frustrated with Aaron Ekblad. Because he's a traffic cone. He is.
I'm really, really surprised he wasn't saying the same thing about Mark Stahl, because he's been like five traffic cones this season.
He knows what he did.
Yes, he knows what he did.
Also, Eric Stahl. What are you doing? Who are you? Did you see what Eric Stahl did?
I need to stop you for just a second, because Roy got very excited there. He's excitable. You kissed him.
Koepka is Polish.
Roy, you said he's been like five traffic cones and one is sufficient. Like, being five traffic cones isn't any worse than being one traffic cone. It's the same insult. Five traffic cones. Put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. What would it be harder to score against? Five traffic cones or one traffic cone?
It's called an exaggeration.
Yeah. No, but five are more effective than one.
It would make it more difficult to score.
One, you don't know which way do I go around. If there's five, you can kind of make someone turn, take a detour.
I see what you were doing, Roy.
Take away four of those traffic cones.
I see what you were doing, Roy, but yeah.
It doesn't Dan's make right. sense. You got too excited. That's commitment.
Hey, listen. He's been terrible.
Wait, did you see what Eric Stahl did, though? So they had a pride night, and everyone wore a Both Stahls did this?
Yeah, Both Stahls did.
But I don't want to. We'll get to that in a second.
You're getting the Jeff Bowles treatment.
I don't want to leave for a second that Brooks Koepka, that a traffic cone of that size is cumbersome to bring up to the skybox.
How did he get it in there? I can't get in there with a drawstring bag.
It looks collapsible. I'm thinking, and I don't want to ruin the fun. I feel like there was probably like a spill in the arena, and he just stole it.
That is possible. He thought to himself while walking past the spill, you know, I'm going to get at flat with this.
Holding it out.
Wet surface? Is that what you're
or
saying?
Or he's a VIP guest, and when he got up to the suite, they're like, can we get you anything? He's like, I need a cone.
I love that. Brooks Koepka.
An ice cream cone? No, an orange one.
He's a prop comic.
I like that.
It's incredible. All right, so Eric Stahl, you jerk. Both Stahls.
Both of them.
Mark Stahl did this too?
Yeah, they sent out that release and both of the Stahls were in it, so he spoke for them.
So it was Pride night and everyone wore Pride jerseys, practice warm-ups that you, again, can't buy anywhere because Fanatics is terrible. And
the most important part of this story.
No. But anytime I get an opportunity to drag the NHL and their merchandise,
it was just a stupid decision.
Now they have like the entire contract. So enjoy that, everybody.
Great.
So the Stahls did not want to wear the Pride jerseys. Okay, and we've seen this throughout the NHL. The NHL has a problem on its hands, and they've come out with the statements. Reimer, the former Panther goalie, touted religion. A couple people have used Russian laws because we're governed by Russia, apparently, in this country. The Stahls decided
to not... What kind of sound was that, Roy?
No, scoffing.
Textbook dismissive sound right there.
Yeah. I'm so angry.
I love Roy.
I'm supposed to be happy with the Canes right now, but no.
So the Stahls decide to not wear this, and whatever, you take it in stride. It's hockey, and they're just doing their thing. And photos showed up on the internet of Eric Stahl wearing a Pride jersey in Montreal. He was confronted with this information, and he just denied it. No such thing. We see the photo of you in the Pride jersey. You didn't have this stance before. Why do you have this stance now? He just flat out said, no, I never wore it. There's a photo of you, dude. Why are you? You're just gonna lie? No accountability. Jerk. No. You can make the decision all you want, but like when you're confronted with the truth and you got nothing for it and you're just gonna call people liars, no, stick to your guns, man. Come on, have your convictions. Embarrassing. Bad job out of him and the Panthers.
Maybe not the Panthers, but definitely them. Their performance in that game in particular, Eric Stahl took a penalty first 3 minutes of the game. That's one.
Oh, Mark Stahl's been shit.
Mark Stahl had a -3, and that's not including the goal that he was on the ice for.
Yeah, we're getting
off track.
Sidetracked.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Eric Stahl the next game gave up a penalty in the first 2 minutes
Roy,
of the game.
Your love of the hockey minutiae is one of the strangest things around this show. Do
they have the forecheck going? No.
You badly want to analyze the stall performance in the first period of a game 2 games ago.
You can't make a bullshit statement like that and then go out there and play like shit.
So it's okay to make it and then play well?
Yeah, like if you're Connor McDavid, let's hear this guy out.
Let him talk.
You're fine with Kachuk doing it.
I was at this game and I texted Roy in the first period like, hey, because sometimes we meet up in intermission, like, hey Roy, where you at? I don't see you up there in the press box. He's like, the Stahl brothers, they did something before the game. So I just was imagining Roy like down below, just like pacing, just like upset, just like that. Like, you could still watch the game though. I was like,
I was fuming. It was very upsetting. I was pissed.
Eric Stahl, more like bathroom.
No, I was
Stahl.
That one. Hey, right,
I heard
good,
that.
Good,
I heard
good,
it.
Good job,
I heard it.
Job.
Excellent.
That's not a good angle. That's not a good angle.
Billy, the camera has caught.
You've run out of good angles, Mike.
That's not a good angle.
Mike Ryan is shirtless.
He's over the belly button guy now. That's a choice.
You remember I Love Lucy, the neighbor? That's where
Fred Mertz.
Yeah, that's where he wore
his
pants.
Tony Soprano.
Is that Fred? That was Fred, right?
It's a great name. Yes.
How did you order pants back in the day? Because like now there's length, right? And it's like, you know, you're 34 or 32 or 36 or whatever, right? Fred was like a 54. Like he was way up there.
It is unsettling. And I think he was like 31 years old.
Yeah.
Fred Mertz, that's true. Not a lot of people know that Fred Mertz, Billy, you can look it up.
No, he was creepy old. Like, he was like twice the age of Ethel, if I remember correctly.
I think that Fred Mertz, I think Mike's got this right, that on I Love Lucy, he looked like an old man from the very beginning, but wasn't actually an old man at the very beginning. I don't think
it's impossible. I mean,
it doesn't seem possible. I didn't think we'd end up on I Love Lucy and the neighbor to the.
Without Greg
we're
here.
We're focusing on the important things.
In this same vein, Tom Haberstroh tweeted that Carl Winslow, the dad in Family Matters, it just turned 70, which means when that show came out, Carl Winslow, the dad on that show, was only 30. He's my age, 36 years old.
36?
I'm about to be. Oh, when Family Matters, I know, right? It's a big one. At 35, you're still like,
one.
I feel like 36, it's one of those ones that I'm like, oh my God.
You're old.
36 is a big age. I just decided.
You could be a TV dad.
Fred was 64. Ethel was 42.
Ah! Yeah, that's what
okay,
I'm telling you.
So Mike got
big
it wrong.
Disparity.
No, but here's 31. Look, guys, we can salvage this. We were wrong about that, but here's the game we play. What year was Fred Mertz born? Well, I guess the actor, William Frawley. What year was he born? Because this is wild.
It's
got to be the 1800s,
1897?
Right?
1897.
1887.
Yeah, oh, man.
He's 100 years older than me.
He's every bit as old as he looked. This is a good conversation, though. People who are shockingly young or old based on their appearances, because we do this with Wilford Brimley all the time. Because
he died in 66? I was watching I knew it was old shows, but like I thought that they were still doing like the color episodes, like the late. That's wild. 66.
Billy, rest in peace.
Billy, go ahead and you got kind of nuked by Mike's enthusiasm there. The celebration of John Ruiz that you wish to have today, the cartoonish, blustery booster for the University of Miami, the sugar daddy who has indeed funded. They've got four players that were purchased at something close to that price of the $400,000
purchased. I don't know if that's the right verbiage. I don't like that either.
They were paid. They deserve to be paid. They're getting paid.
Purchase. You don't buy people.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we don't buy folks.
Right. This isn't the time of William Frawley.
Zay Wong was here pre NIL.
John Ruiz, you wish to celebrate?
Well, no,
him today?
Just credit where credit is due. He's right. I mean, look, you can argue. The John Ruiz and Johnny Ruiz, go around and take credit for what's happened.
Don't forget Alex.
And Alex Ruiz and,
And Mike Ryan.
Mike Ruiz, yeah. I think Michelle Ruiz is in on that too, if I saw the guest list correctly. But
that was weird. I wanted to say something about it. But we just
last week's GQ, or what, it was a Vanity Fair author, Michelle Ruiz, yes. Very inside joke there that nobody outside of this room would get.
Diana Diaz also heavily involved, formerly of Channel 7.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, her and John.
Life Wallet. I mean, everybody was like, what the hell is this thing? And I think everyone's still wondering what the hell is this thing. But, it's taking teams to the Final Four and Elite Eight, it seems.
Yeah, but not FAU. This is a new reality of college basketball. This is
wild, wacky stuff. There was a college basketball Final Four in 1970, I think. I learned this. Shout out to college basketball sickos. That was UCLA, understandable. St. Bonaventure, New Mexico, and Jacksonville.
The Bonnies.
Sicko committee.
Jacksonville made a Final Four. I learned that.
But was that like an Artis Gilmore
team? Artis Gilmore,
like,
yeah.
That was a great team.
Well, he was a great player.
And this is like the second most random Final Four ever. And like Dan mentioned it, and I'm going to have to say it again out loud. We are one game each away from a national basketball final in the men's game between FAU and Miami. We're the center of the college basketball universe. Nova had an undefeated season. Shout out to them. Go Sharks. Congrats on your national championship, NCAA Division II. I do want the opportunity here, before we wrap up this segment, to congratulate Katie Meyer and the UM women's team for a magical, magical run. You just don't see 9 seeds go that far in the tournament, and it was just too much. I know Destiny Harden busted her lip last night. She's a legend. Retired her jersey.
Did she lose a tooth?
It looked like it, but I texted her this morning. She just busted up her lip. She's okay. Retire her jersey.
Thank you.
Why? Look at me, Louie. No, why?
Texted her this morning.
Impressive. Come on.
She's our NIL athlete, and she came out to highlight.
I'm not making fun of you. It's a cool thing that you were just like, I texted UM's best player this morning.
Like you made fun.
It also deserved a look at me,
Louie. Like, we're close to Destiny. She came out to the Cyclones game. By the way, Cyclones, first win of the season. Chalk that one up. You're welcome, Ron.
What happens when we give him the silent treatment? We gave him the silent treatment.
3 months.
Plenty of battle win. Yeah, plenty of battle. We beat the champs. So.
They're in last place.
But you can gain points every game without winning. It's one of those things where a certain amount of points are up for grabs.
No, but
every
time. 1-9.
You guys don't get the sport, okay? I'm trying to explain how it works.
Save the wins for the playoffs.
Yeah. We're playoff pushing.
Yeah.
Are you 1-9?
Well, that's not how the record. That's not how it's done.
You
can have a certain amount of points possible, and we've gotten a very small amount of our points.
Wait,
admittedly,
I'm sorry.
I have a question. Does everyone make the playoffs?
Three of the five teams.
So you're not going to make the playoffs.
No, there's plenty of battle court.
There's like a play, like second and third play to get to the.
We're finally healthy.
Someone makes it to the championship automatically.
Right, the one seed makes it to the championship.
We've got plenty to talk about. Let's not talk about this.
I want
to
thank Katie Meyer again. Can you thank her for me?
Yeah, thank her, Dan.
Why don't you just text her?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a great
check your phone.
I am going to Mykonos with it.
What is
that number?
I'm not kidding.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Levitard.
Could I interest any of you in an opportunity to make money where I buy some calling cards and I sell them to you, and then you get 3 friends, and then you're making money off the ones they sell? I'm Elon.
Stugatz.
And he's tank Twitter.
The more friends, the more you make friends. I'm Elon.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Don't forget, check on your second chance bracket presented by State Farm.
Guess how much sleep I got last night?
8 hours.
Nope.
17 hours.
I was just watching highlights.
You're just wired. That's one of the best things. That when your team wins a big game, it's one of the best things to watch all the coverage, as opposed to when it loses a big game and you just turn off the television and try to hide.
Yeah, yeah. I remember there was an Eastern Conference Final Game 7 between the Miami Heat and Toronto Raptors. The game ended at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. I went to bed. Oh my God. I just didn't want to do anything. I slept for over 12 hours. But I was at Sports Grill in South Miami. That's like the flagship for the Canes, right by the campus.
Great wings.
Lucky back room. College Mike was an animal. Thank you to the kind staff that allowed for him to pour pitchers of Miller Lite over his head a bunch.
You did?
No, College Mike did.
That's sticky. Oh, I thought that's what you called yourself.
No.
The Canes.
You thought he was already going third person?
Yeah. So that way, in relation to the Canes, he was College Mike.
So the caravan went to Sunset Tavern afterwards, and I guess South Miami's the New Grove, whatever. And they had karaoke night, and I got to I got to live a long dream of mine, which was to sing the Star Spangled Banner at karaoke. And it was as awkward as you can imagine. Everybody stopped doing what they were doing. The bartenders, people wearing hats, took them off and put it over their heart. It was amazing. So highly recommend doing the Star Spangled Banner at karaoke night.
Billy had the right reaction. Beer sticky. It seems unpleasant to throw beer over your head. It's not a great.
Yeah, but College Mike is just a different breed. Yeah, super sticky. His nose was so red.
What does that mean?
I mean,
probably had a good amount to drink.
Yeah, I was like Mike last night, where like I was UD day just happened, and I couldn't sleep watching the replay of all the minutes Foe played UD. Got a full 18 hours of sleep last night.
Get him.
I want to talk about Udonis Haslam night in a second, but how many hours did you indeed sleep after the UM victory?
I got like 3 hours. I was raging.
Stugatz is right when he says it is super wide open. The Elite Eight, this is the first time that no number one seeds have been in the Elite Eight since 1979, and now the highest remaining seed is a four seed. I'd say that Miami's victory over Houston, just in terms of quality of play, to me, is the best basketball I've seen in this tournament, except I saw what UConn did to Gonzaga.
Yeah, and people that know college basketball are saying that UConn is a matchup problem, that we actually matched up pretty well against Texas. But, you know, it's weird in college basketball. The Final Four is so huge.
You're not with me, though? You're not with me that it's enough to get here, that there's like that I will not be disappointed.
It's a great season regardless.
Even if they lose to UConn by 20 points, or if they lose to UConn the way Gonzaga lost to UConn, the fact that you get this week, that you get the whole week to wait for the game, to me, it's just a crowning achievement matter what happens after this.
You're the attraction. You're on all the shirts. You get to say Final Four forever. Final Four means more, oddly, than national runner-up. It's crazy.
I do think there will be some pressure. It's a great season regardless. But if they play FAU in the national championship game, the pressure's on UM.
Fair enough, Stugatz. Fair enough. I would say that this path that Miami had to take to the Final Four is, I mean, a murderer's row. Those are really good teams that Miami beat. And you look, I'm so jealous, and not to take anything away. And I know it's going to sound like not to take anything away from Dusty May and FAU, but they played Fairleigh Dickinson in the second round. It's such a bop side of the bracket, that left side of the bracket.
Yeah, but they got Memphis in the first round, Mike. Like it even sounds.
But an eight
Memphis.
Seed, though. It's not Houston. It's not Houston, Indiana,
not even
and Texas.
Drake. Like Drake's average starting, they were older than five NBA teams.
Billy, we cannot go much further because the Heat had a huge game at home against the Nets, and their defense has been terrible since Kevin Love got here. And they lost by 29 points against the Nets on Udonis Haslam night, on a night when, and I saw a lot of people complaining about this, a section was dedicated to Udonis Haslam. There will be murals and stuff. They lose by 29, and then people, frustrated people, end up in ultra traffic outside of the arena, overdosing teenagers traffic outside of the arena. Just a bummer of
overdosing.
I mean, all over the reckless. Place. Everybody's, I'm being reckless that there are overdoses and ultra.
Occasionally.
I think it's fair to say.
We don't know. We don't teenagers. Know.
But Udonis Haslam, that one made you laugh, Billy?
Not laugh. It made me upset. I was mad. They were putting out all these things. It looked like, and I could be wrong, that everyone in Section 305 got a UD jersey.
Yeah.
Like, which is an incredible giveaway. Because I'm sure there was people that bought tickets to that game in Section 305 at the beginning of the season, not knowing it was UD day for, like, you know, whatever, cheap a price, I would assume, right? Because it's up, it's in Uptown, it's high up, you know? I guess Uptown's technically 400. We don't need to get into that now. But
no, I think Uptown's 300.
Is it?
I think so.
They're not great seats.
It's not that they're not. Uptown Dale, we don't need to get into now. Uptown Dale, nary a visit to Uptown, if my Heat game experiences are still the situation. I feel like Uptown Dale has become Downtown Dale, and he just hangs out down on the floor. You
sends
know what
DJ
I mean?
MDOT up there a lot.
MDOT's always... MDOT's a man of the people. Can I just say that? Shout out to MDOT. That guy is a man of the people. He's there through thick and thin. He'll go up into Uptown if he has to. He's there every day as the DJ now because DJ Irie became Hollywood also, and he's just flying around on PJs with Jamie Foxx all the time.
I can't sit for this Uptown Dale. You're talking crap about Uptown Dale. I can't sit for this.
No, he's just saying that he's doing the things that Dale used to do. That's all.
I'm going
to
stand.
No, but you won't stand for it.
Yeah, and then you have
to stand for this.
No,
you have to sit. You won't stand for this, you have to sit.
I don't like what you're doing.
I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Like, there, you know, let's head back up to. Here's my real question, and we can put it on the poll, Dan, because I know this is where you wanted to head with this. Does Uptown Dale regret being Uptown Dale because he doesn't go to Uptown anymore? Does he just want to be Dale at this point?
How did you make Udonis Haslam's...
Because he didn't play because Eric Spoelstra's an idiot. Why is he not playing him on Udonis Haslam night? Can I ask you something? Everybody went there. They made this whole thing. This is UD's weekend. This is the whole Heat Family Festival. It's about UD. 4 days of celebrating UD. There's only one game. Get your tickets so you can see Udonis Haslam. This is his last season. He's going to retire. We have a whole section. Everyone gets jerseys. We're wrapping everything with UD, section 305. UD, he's the heart of the Heat. He's been here forever. He's going to be retired. And then everybody goes, and how many minutes did he play, Dan? Zero. DNP. Why? Why? Coach's decision. So who do we blame but Eric Spoelstra? Who do we blame but Eric Spoelstra for UD not playing? Coach's decision. What was the decision? They lost by 29 points. You can't get them out there to
start. Perfect spot.
You can't get, not even that. Don't even give them pity minutes at the end of the game. That's not what UD is about. Start him. Yeah. Why can't you start him?
Start him.
If anyone can say anything about this team, because I heard it, and I don't know if he's ready to come to the mic to say it. I heard it off in the distance. Tony said it. The Heat suck is what he said.
Heat suck.
Yeah,
they suck. You can't lose by 29 points on UD's last day. You can't do it.
Off in the distance, they said it.
They suck.
You know what?
They suck.
And that's where this team has gone to. People saying, openly saying, this team sucks. And if Udonis Haslam is on the court at tip, I can tell you one thing that will not be said about the Heat. They suck. No one would say
it. I wouldn't have said it.
They'd be they'd be quivering in their boots to say that the Heat suck if Udonis Haslam was out there enforcing.
Mm-hmm. Tag me.
Go ahead and call
him.
Pow.
Tag me. Miami Heat, what are you doing?
Wow.
Every freaking year, you have like three home games during Ultra.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I like those games because like when Dan had the good season tickets during the Big Three, I already marked that on my calendar. I'm like, this is one he is not going to and is falling to me because no one else in the studio wants those tickets.
This is a franchise. Yeah.
Should have sold
them. We had to haul our asses to Salt Lake City, Utah.
Embarrassing.
I'm going to Indianapolis next year for an All-Star game. This city has not hosted an NBA All-Star game since 1990. You know what excuse they give us? What?
Before I was born.
You know what they say? Boat show.
Bullshit.
Whoa. Bullshit. Careful. I gotta tell you, feels racist. Because I know what you mean by boat show.
It is.
You hold Family Fest during Ultra? You hold Family Fest during Ultra. How do you have a 4-game homestand during a 3-day festival?
The teenagers are overdosing. Just a few feet away.
We made the Final Four!
National semifinalists.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.